Reforming America's Marijuana Prohibition Laws takes education, lobbying, and voting. From Washington, D.C. to your state capitol to your city hall, marijuana law reform involves all levels of civic life. Learn how you can make your impact with elected officials as we take a look at our government at work.
All right, folks, welcome back. It is 7 after the hour, and we are going out live to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where we've got Chris Goldstein on the line. Chris, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you all right. I'm in a quiet space, Ross.
You found a quiet space. I've been watching the C-SPAN coverage, and it looks like everything was quite loud, especially the Bernie Sanders supporters. Give us your take on what's been happening this morning.
I don't think I've ever seen this many protesters in Philadelphia at one time from one event, honestly, Russ, and that's saying something. I've seen a lot of big protests, anti-war rallies, you name it, and it was just wave after wave, block after block after block. Black Lives Matter, equality, marijuana reform, Bernie Sanders, it was just huge. Again, it was very impressive. It took us several hours to make it down from City Hall to Broad Street with the two giant inflatable joints. But, you know, FDR Park, the sort of landing spot for these marches down by the Wells Fargo Center where the majority of the DNC convention is taking place, that's actually, I mean, it's a fair distance. I think I did almost a little over 8.5 miles of walking today.
Wow.
Now I'm a little crushed.
You mentioned that there were two inflatable joints this time. We'd only heard of one.
Yes, DCMJ has a joint, and the folks at the New York Empire State Normal and Dana Beal's crew up there also have one. And they ended up, we weren't sure if the New York crew was going to arrive in town or anything like that, but they did get here, and it was a surprise. They got in last night, and then today there was 104 feet of joint in Philadelphia, so it's pretty impressive.
Smoke two joints in the morning, smoke two joints at night. The DNC is well represented by the cannabis community. How has been the response? Have you gotten a lot of media play on this?
Just type joint, comma, Philadelphia into a Google News search and click it on most recent, and it has been tremendous, Russ. I think as far as things go, we really commanded a lot of attention today because of the size of the props. There were just crowds and crowds. And also, too, I have to say, I, if you're looking at it from far away, it is crushingly hot and humid here today.
Yeah.
I have rarely had the kind of physical challenge for our volunteers and protesters than we had today. But it is just really intense out today. So, but that said, again, everybody in the marijuana protest was certainly happy and dancing down the road. And there was a lot of marijuana smoking in the middle of Broad Street. There was a lot of marijuana smoking at FDR Park around City Hall before we launched. And I am not aware, or and certainly didn't see anybody get a citation.
All right. No citations for marijuana use as far as we're aware at the protests in Philadelphia. We're speaking with Chris Goldstein. You can find him on Twitter at Freedom Is Green, also with Philly Normal. And aren't you still writing for Philly.com as well?
I am. I took a little brief break. They were sort of the Philadelphia Media Group, the Daily News, The Inquirer, and Philly.com were sort of restructuring, but I'm going to be back to writing later this week. Yep.
All right. So I've been watching the DNC, the inside feed from C-SPAN, and what you describe as being a big contingent of Bernie Sanders supporters appears to be happening inside as well, with chants of stop TPP and Bernie, 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 and boos when people are mentioning Hillary Clinton and Tim Kaine. From a political standpoint, even just taking the marijuana out of this, have you ever seen a convention anything like this?
No, Russ. I think that one of the things, as much of a gigantic debacle as the RNC was last week, it took a lot of people's attention away from the very real discord that's been happening within the Democratic Party for quite some time. And everything with the WikiLeaks and also the superdelegate fight, and just the even all those things aside, where Clinton and Sanders ended up here at the convention in Philadelphia. Yeah, there's a lot of discord in the Democratic Party. And there really is not you know, I know they want to sort of put out this message like, hey, we're more unified than the other guys. But at the end of the day, they haven't found that unity yet. I mean, certainly I've spoken to delegates who even threatened, you know, there were rumors of a threat that Bernie Sanders delegates would be walking onto the floor with their voter registration cards like held out. Like, yes, it's getting contentious. Yes, it's getting very strong. On the other hand, the Sanders campaign is very shrewdly working the party politics with behind the scenes by getting things like marijuana onto the party plank. So they see this as an opportunity to like affect the party overall, and they're doing that. Russ, I think one of the funny things is when Bernie Sanders endorsed Hillary Clinton, a lot of people were rightfully disappointed, myself included in a lot of ways. But I think it's funny that a lot of people woke up to the idea that Bernie Sanders was a politician, you know, before all of this.
Yeah.
And, you know, the guy has a not just a politician, but a very effective and savvy one. He really knows how to work these systems and as an independent. So honestly, I don't think we're done yet at the convention. He has a tremendous amount of support. They're trying to roll that into political clout. And for marijuana legalization, it sure seems to be coming on top. So you can't complain about that.
Yeah, let's take a look at that. As far as the Democratic Party platform on marijuana reform, I understand it started pretty good and got better as it went along.
It did. But also, too, Russ, I think that the first plank and also the evolution of it is the first time we're seeing like the combination of industry support with the racial and social justice message as well. Which is a little odd. So like the first plank was pretty simple. It was like, hey, we need tax and banking reform. Oh, and by the way, people are disproportionately arrested for pot. So it's evolved into a better plank than that, but it's still those two core messages. And that really comes down to the Democratic Party not just making a play towards a popular social issue that has the writing on the wall, but I think they want to steer the campaign contributions their way, especially from the cannabis industry, which is flush with cash. So, you know, the biggest problem of the marijuana industry is having too much liquid cash on hand. They've bought all of the houses and cars they possibly can for all of their nieces and nephews. So the world of politics offers a very interesting investment opportunity for them. Not one that turns in, well, maybe it does. I mean, I was going to say it doesn't turn into money down the road, but it really does. They can make campaign contributions, especially to out-of-state politicians. So if you're a Colorado cannabis company, you can make contributions to congressmen from Oregon and Washington and Alaska, and New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. And you can make bigger contributions to out-of-state legislators than to the ones in your own state. So this is a welcome well of cash that the Democrats, I'm sure, would like to steer their direction at all levels. And so far, the cannabis industry has been picky, very picky by a party who they give their money to. Anybody who helps them out, they're welcome to steer some contributions their way. And I think the Democrats want a bigger piece of that.
So according to the ratings by the Marijuana Policy Project, Donald Trump gets a C+ on marijuana, Hillary Clinton gets a B+, and Gary Johnson, the Libertarian, gets an A+. What do you think of the possibility of some of that cannabis cash moving its way toward the Libertarian Party?
Well, I certainly think that some of it's probably already going there already. I mean, Gary Johnson is not, you know, I think that the Libertarian candidate moniker, he's bigger than that. Honestly, he's bigger than the Libertarian Party. The guy was a two-term Republican governor. He knows party politics and he knows GOP politics pretty darn well. He also is a pretty savvy executive, governor. And he would be a pretty darn good president. So, yeah, I think he can convince a lot of the conservative money that people would never give to Donald Trump, and they might give to Gary Johnson. Donald Trump isn't even really doing any fundraising, Russ. I mean, you know, even at this point, I'm not sure, but I think it's still true that the Trump campaign hasn't even purchased a single TV ad. So, I think also Johnson offers an attractive candidate for people who are itchy. I mean, people who are used to giving to the GOP during a presidential campaign. Trump isn't taking their money. Maybe they gave a little in the primaries, but they want to give to somebody. So, yeah, I think Gary Johnson is good in that. But also, too, Russ, let's not discount. I mean, those ratings are kind of funny that I heard right there. The fact that Trump gets a C+, you know, Donald Trump getting in the White House is like asking, you know, like a 5-year-old to fly a helicopter. You know, he might Really? I mean, he'll get in there and he'll look at all the cool buttons and stuff and maybe go vroom vroom. But it's Mike Pence and Chris Christie that know how to fly the helicopter. Mm-hmm. They know how to push the buttons and start the engine and take the thing off and fly it down the road. And that's who would be in charge of this country. And that certainly would be a pretty horrific prospect. You know, I live in New Jersey, so
yeah.
I've battled Chris Christie. I know him as a politician pretty well, having written about him for many years. And give that guy even a gram of national power, and it would be ugly for the entire country, most especially for marijuana consumers.
Absolutely.
So I'm surprised that Trump gets a C+. I'm surprised that Hillary Clinton gets a B+, but she did evolve. I mean, you know, she came around pretty significantly from her last presidential campaign, but she's certainly no Bernie Sanders. And I think that on her worldview, it's a very low priority.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it wasn't just that Sanders came out with, you know, the descheduling message we've all been looking for, but he committed to that message, too, and he really championed it forward. It was an important thing on his list. You know, Hillary Clinton, no matter where she comes on this issue, even if she says descheduling is her thing, it's like item number 174 on her, like, you know, priority list, really.
Well, Chris Goldstein, we got about a minute left.
That's what I'm concerned about.
We got about a minute left. Can you give us a preview of what might be happening for the next 3 days amongst the protesters there?
Well, also last night, Russ, the Marijuana Policy Project had a fundraiser with Earl Blumenauer and Steve Cohen. The Drug Policy Alliance is having a fundraiser. That's what's going to be happening. There's a lot of lobbyists, activists, industry leaders in town that aren't coming to our joint protest that are going to these, you know, $1,000 dinner fundraisers all week. And we have a Cannabis Pride March on Thursday. We have a Welcome to the DNC Marijuana Party tonight at Connie's Rick Rack. So there's going to be plenty of marijuana at the DNC, Russ. Don't worry.
I'm sure there will be plenty there, and I wish I was there to partake of some of it with you. Chris Goldstein is with Freedom Leaf, and you can follow him at Freedom Is Green on Twitter. Any other shout-outs you want to give?
Oh, absolutely. I want to say N.A. Poe, Nikki Allen Poe, did a spectacular job all day today. He does a really wonderful job as a cannabis activist here in Philadelphia. And the DCMJ folks and the New York crew who came in today and sweltered in 97-degree heat and walked 4 miles from City Hall to the Wells Fargo Center. Russ, if you want to find commitment and passion in activism and marijuana reform, look no further than the people who walk this joint down the street today.
No doubt about it. That is a workout. I've done many a march on a hot, humid day. Congrats to all of you for taking that. We appreciate your work. Well, that sound means that it's 20 after the hour, Chris. It's 4:20 in Denver, Colorado, so we got to get on to a break. Thanks for calling in, and we'll talk to you sometime later. All right, folks, smoke them if you got them. When we come back, we will have our cannabis radio news for you. Latest headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds.